The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to April 1996.
The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWitt, and today we actually have almost all of the panel, just one person missing. On scurrying away from my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always.
Glad to get a chair.
And wandering away from the table, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Hey, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy. And to Kathy's right, from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Well, nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. The audience cannot even imagine what is happening right now.
It's chaos.
Someone is walking around carrying a chair over her head. And
like a sword of Damocles.
Yes, exactly. Finding a place to park. All right. And on Professor Sumner's right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Dan Maggio.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. And on Dan's...
What is happening?
Say it. Doing a Star Trek thing.
He's doing stuff. He's dead, Jim.
I'm a sergeant, not a bricklayer.
I hope
That's probably what it was.
And to Dan's right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Hi, Ed.
And the weightlifting chair lady from the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
Hi.
Heavy breathing, yes. And the person she's breathing heavily upon, sitting right next to her from the Department of English, also Professor Hugh Kulick.
I'd like to be that lucky. That's what I call a committee meeting or a department meeting.
Most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you will receive the winner's package, which consists of the diploma, a bumper sticker, autographed photograph, and something else, I think, of some kind of a bauble.
The
computers that someone has laughingly said are all going to be on our individual desks in September when we come back. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. Possible.
Sure.
And they say, wish you price on them.
And they'll... And they'll all be plugged into the university's World Wide Web,
right.
Which is still under construction. That's wonderful.
They keep buying spiders, thinking that's the answer to their problems.
That's right. My gosh.
People can ask you, have you set up a server? You know, and your answer is, no, have you?
No, I don't play tennis in the winter.
It takes that long to think how long it took before.
Yes, well, exactly. I mean, up until last week, we were still using a tin can and a string around this place to communicate from one building to the next.
And if we're each getting a computer, Claire and I share an office with Michael Berry, so we're wondering how they're going to get three computers in there. But that's
And five mice.
They'll figure it out.
Oh, no, I got another one.
Okay. You'll need to have a separate keyboard, but there'll be one monitor.
It'll be a big monitor.
Hey, they caught the Unabomber, speaking
of
evil.
Yes. Maybe.
I hope not.
You hope not?
No.
Oh, come on.
As last night's news being the typical example of brilliant Detroit investigative reporting, there's a Michigan connection here.
Right.
This person went to U of M.
Yeah, did his PhD in math there.
Terrific.
Like that. But I really hope they haven't caught him.
Anyway, if you stump the panel, you get all those things.
You get an exploding panel.
If you don't stump the panel, then your name's turned over to the Unabomber, and you have a surprise coming in the mail.
No,
you get a bumper sticker, another photograph,
ooh,
made just specially for people like you, and and whatever else we find lying around. All right. On our last program, we were in the middle of a set of questions from Ryan Joe Mayfield of Tennessee Colony, Texas.
All right, yes.
Yes. A man who has sent you a series of questions about various celebrities and what they used to do for a living.
Oh, right. And we were having some trouble with some of those because
we were being clobbered.
They would have had to have full-time jobs at the age of six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a lot of these were obviously part-time jobs, and these were not what they did exclusively. You know, this was just...
But anyway, let's hear.
Yes. Sinead O'Connor. What did she do before she became famous?
A midwife?
No.
I think she was in religious orders.
No, she wasn't.
She must have been a barber.
Waitress.
No. No.
Teacher?
Great babysitter.
Barmaid.
No. Think of...
She's a tour guide.
It's the entertainment field.
Really? Mm-hmm. She's a Kaylee dancer.
Well, you're getting close.
Was she a folk dancer? Tour guide.
No, no. Dancing is close, but
exotic
not close
dancing.
Enough. Exotic's even better. She was a singing kissogram French maid in Dublin.
Yeah. The only one, no doubt.
You know? You know, that'd scare you to death, wouldn't it? You know? Here. We got it.
How many...
Made in Dublin.
Yeah. The only one, no doubt.
You know? You know, that'd scare you to death, wouldn't it? You know? Here. We got it.
How many of those
could
there
be? A bald French maid. It's a whole concept.
A bald French maid.
My name
Down
is
Arthur.
Listen up. That'd be very frightening.
Does she knit?
Luther Vandross.
Oh. Truck driver.
No. He may have been, but the one I have in front of me is something quite different. It's something much more exotic.
Is he a professional man?
No.
Providing a service?
Yes. He was providing a service.
He was a French masseuse.
No.
Land or sea?
Escort?
On land.
Like a pimp?
Gigolo?
In a store.
Oh, no.
A model?
No.
Shoe salesman.
Well, I'll take that as half. He was a clerk.
Oh, okay.
But he was a defective merchandise clerk at an S&H really? Green stamp.
The only kind
the guy
we
you complained
sell.
To.
That's
what,
right.
You get double stamps if it's defective.
Probably or, did.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
He wasn't a defective, the merchandise.
No. That's right.
Yes, they have.
No. They still
Jim
exist.
Jim Bob used to work at S&H Green stamps.
My
he
God.
Was perfect for working at S&H
yes,
Green
that's,
stamps.
I would
actually got some as a wedding gift.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they were too cheap to even collect the stamps and give you the gift. They just
they
gave you the stamps.
Well. They meant well.
They meant well.
But you knew then, this marriage is doomed. Dan Aykroyd.
What does S&H stand for?
Shipping and handling, I imagine. I don't know.
It's two names.
It is. Simpson and something.
Yeah. Simpson?
Let's call Jim Bob. He would know. We'll get him on the phone. Dan Aykroyd?
Yes.
Ashford and Simpson?
Wasn't he a dog groomer or something?
Well, he may have been, but this is...
I know he was in a seminary, and that
yes,
was that.
He was
but...
that.
Really?
Yes,
I'll accept
was.
Those. Catholic? The answer Mr.
Actually.
Mayfield is looking for, it, that explains a lot.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yes, it really does, yeah. Now, he wrote a manual for penitentiary guards.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ho Chi Minh.
A school teacher.
He had several jobs.
Waiter.
A waiter. Restaurant
a
owner.
Well,
in Paris, yeah.
He was a student in Paris. He wasn't a waiter, but he certainly worked in a restaurant.
A cook?
Yes, he was a pastry chef in New York.
Oh, lovely.
In New York.
He and LBJ should have had a cook-off.
He was also a photo retoucher.
Lot, you know?
Okay.
He also worked as a photo retoucher and as a snow shoveler.
Ooh, that
a professional show snow shoveler.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Allen Ginsberg.
That's a contradiction in terms.
Oh, come on now.
Bookstore clerk.
I mean, he was in the Merchant Marine.
That's right.
He
was, that's
did
he was.
A million
he was in the Merchant
things.
Who's
this?
Marine.
Allen Ginsberg.
A Merchant Marine, also an accountant.
I'm just finished reading his poems, I think, 1985 to 92, and he's wonderful. I mean, God, you just... people that won't take the time to read him are missing some really funny, good stuff.
Yeah, it's
going to be in Ann Arbor tomorrow. I mean, 3 weeks ago. Whatever this
with
show
the Unabomber,
is here.
I think they're doing
it. they're doing a fundraiser.
Yeah, a double bill. Read this or we blow you up.
Yeah. Ralph Lauren.
Waiter.
No.
Seamstress, obviously.
Well, yeah, I was trying to think, what's the masculine for seamstress?
Taylor.
Right. Well, that's close enough. I'll give you a half. He was a tie salesman at Brooks Brothers, so it had to do with clothes.
Yeah. Okay.
Arthur Conan Doyle.
He was a dentist? Or a doctor, wasn't
he? Was a doctor.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He also wrote routines for vaudeville shows.
That I didn't
He lost
know.
His sense of humor
that's
somewhere along the way.
when he became a spiritualist.
It's like, that reminds me of something of these Christmas pantomimes, this material on Alan Rickman that he collected for Sarah and her sister. One of Rickman's earliest theatrical performances upon leaving the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts was playing a chipmunk in a Christmas pantomime.
Oh, no.
High art.
High art, yes.
Does it count that I was Miss Spring in my Brownie Troop fly-up
play? Ooh,
wow. Miss Spring?
Miss Spring.
Like
everybody
Persephone?
Else had to be an animal.
Were you Persephone?
No, just Miss Spring.
How did you
little
dress?
White dress.
Primavera.
White dress, I think.
Very springy.
I was pleased.
Oh, it's like Anne's claim to fame in Unitarian Sunday School was always playing the planet Pluto. She got to stand at the end of the room and walk around in a circle.
Well, that's not much, but it's better than Uranus. Someone had to say it.
I know. And why not you?
They're going to yell at us for laughing at ourselves on the air.
I know.
But that was worth it.
That was
Anne.
Worth it. Agatha Christie. Agatha Christie. Oh.
She lived in Africa.
Yeah, she did that.
Was she a sahib?
What did she do?
So she was, what, a mem sahib or something?
No, she
was married to an archaeologist.
She was following Max Mallowan all over the place as he was digging up the world, yeah. But she had a more mundane job at one time. This must have
secretary?
Been when she was very young.
A nanny?
Typist?
Well, it's a kind of clerk. But
not
in
sales
a
clerk?
Hat check girl.
A sales clerk. I'll accept that. She was a dispenser in a pharmacy. Huh. So she worked behind the counter. And
that's where she learned all about poisons.
That must have been.
Yeah. Did she do any
woman.
Soda jerking?
Jerking, yeah, really.
I wonder.
Carnival surprise, a lovely Sunday.
Frank Zappa.
Oh. Sunday school teacher.
No.
I work in a record store.
No.
Good humor man.
He did something door to door.
Fuller brush.
Fuller brush.
Not Fuller brushes.
Bissell.
Girl Scout cookies?
No.
Encyclopedias.
Yes.
All right.
He was an encyclopedia salesman.
All right. Frank.
Also designed greeting cards.
Okay. Oh,
I would have loved to see
those. Yeah. 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 Sounds like collector science.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean Connery.
Isn't he Merchant Marine also?
You know, he was. Yeah. Yeah, it's not on the list here, but you know, he was in the at sea. He was also a milkman and a coffin polisher.
Milkman, I remember that.
Oh, a coffin polisher.
Coffin polisher.
How was your day, honey?
Shining.
Yeah, really. A high gloss. Ooh.
Jerry Hall.
Model.
Model.
No.
Yes.
Before she became a star, she was a model, right?
Yes. And that's true.
That doesn't count.
This is before she became a model.
Oh.
Oh.
Photographer.
No, a manure shoveler at a stable.
Really?
Yes.
She was probably 12, and that's what she
was.
Did to get to go horseback riding. Jerry Hall was
married to Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Tall.
Blonde.
Yeah.
Oh.
George, we're going to have to get you, like, People magazine or something.
Yeah.
Well, we should get him a subscription. We should get George a subscription to People. So.
Oh, no.
That would be a terrible thing to do. Yeah.
Clutter my house.
Your house? What about your mind?
We'd never read it.
That's right.
Well,
you can't read
it.
Just look at the pictures.
Never get off the coffee table.
Danny Glover.
Hmm.
He had a real profession.
A lawyer.
Is he a cop? Teacher?
No.
He should have been. He's got a great voice.
Now, somebody who works with cops, though.
Detective?
No. A lawyer?
Private investigator?
A probation officer?
Well, you're getting close now.
A bond
shop owner?
Yes, it works.
We have a program at the university in this.
Social work?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I can
worker.
Believe that.
Oh.
Yeah. Social worker. Rod Stewart.
I don't know. Professional alcoholic or peroxide salesman.
Grave digger.
You know,
some of these I just have trouble with.
I
just am having some trouble with this.
Elvis Costello.
He probably had a summer
record store.
No. No,
who is he?
Oh, he's
who
a great
is
singer.
Elvis Costello?
Mm-hmm.
He's just great.
Singer.
Tremendous.
Tremendous?
He is.
Rock stars, roughly.
Yeah.
Gosh, kind what have you done?
Marginal. No. He's
think math.
School teacher.
No, think something
Bank?
That math
Banking?
Departments have had to incorporate into their...
Computer?
Yeah, computer programmer.
Yes, I can believe that.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor show from 1996. We're pleased to present these special Ask the Professor programs throughout the summer months, and thank you for listening. Now, let's return to this classic show from 1996.
We're back with our questions from Ryan Joe Mayfield of Tennessee Colony, Texas. Who is winning this? Hands down,
right.
Exactly. He's
right.
Clobbered the panel, but these are fun. Just a few more to go. Professions, I mean, jobs, occupations of famous people before they were who they are. Joe Cocker.
Grave digger.
No.
Epileptic.
I'll go with that one, Art.
Very highly paid. Trade.
Plumber.
Yes.
Oh, plumber.
Yeah. Did he have to wear those pants and hang low?
That's
how we knew he was a plumber, because he still does.
That's it. Just say no to crack.
Well, there's your problem, ma'am.
Chuck Berry.
Oh.
Undertaker.
No.
Why did
Steve
I think
Adore.
That?
No. Think of...
selling something?
Think of Livernoy between...
Used car salesman.
7 and 8 Mile.
Used truck salesman?
Fashion.
Baker?
No, they're out of business.
Cosmetologist. Oh,
that's close enough. He was a hairdresser.
Okay. There we go.
Yes. That's right.
How times change. Livernois used to mean used cars.
Yes.
It was the largest used car venue in the world, I think.
Absolutely.
When I started going to school here eons ago, it was in Life magazine. More used car lots on Livernois than anywhere else in the United States.
Absolutely.
When I moved here in the early 70s, it was the Avenue of Fashion.
That one block was.
Oh, yeah.
that's what it was calling itself.
It never was that.
When you moved here in the early 70s, it was no longer the Avenue.
The signs were still up.
Seagulls closed by then, didn't they?
Yeah, Doubleday Bookstore had left.
Seagulls was around for a while.
Billy's Deli had left. I mean, everything
that was a great deli.
I know.
That was a great deli.
They'd all gone, you know. And now we have Arbor Drugs and Pizza Hut.
We have the teacher's store.
The teacher's store. That's right.
Oh, Edwin's in a great mood.
Charles Dickens.
Great time.
Oh, what about him?
Darl's Chickens. He worked Darl's for Chickens. His uncle as a...
Yeah, he was a civil servant, yeah.
And as a boy, he worked in that factory boot blacking.
Yeah, he did that.
Ink
making. This
is
as an adult.
Was he a clerk in a legal office?
That's close enough. He was a court reporter.
Yes.
A government employee.
He also lived in the jail when his father was in debtor's prison,
right.
I believe. You're right.
I don't think that's a job, though.
Well, he might have run errands. I don't know, for the occasional pence.
Harry Truman.
Oh.
Haberdasher.
Yes.
A failed one.
Yeah. Oh, the Masons did it to him, wasn't that?
No, he blamed the Republicans in the 20s. There was a recession that occurred. Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Welk.
He was a musician before he became famous.
What, you mean he gave it up? You think he gave it up?
That's a not nice. Boys.
Was he a dance instructor?
No. Think of the soil.
I think he's a farmer.
He was a farmer.
Where? Should have stayed.
Oh, sweet.
In Elsass-Lorraine, probably.
Right, yeah.
That's where he came from.
Is that where he came from?
Yeah.
He was...
I thought he was Polish.
A Hungarian?
He was Lotharingian.
Lotharingian. What a lovely...
Isn't that? Finally, Cleo Lane. What did Cleo Lane do?
She was an angel, and then she became a singer.
Librarian.
No.
Is it something we've touched on already?
No, it isn't.
Oh. It's a whole was it a real profession?
Well, one is certainly a craft. And the other is more of, just a generic kind of job.
Did she sell something or wait?
She was a clerk in a pawn shop.
And she was also a cobbler.
A cobbler, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Cleo Lane.
Okay. There aren't a lot of lady cobblers around.
There aren't.
There aren't a lot of cobblers.
That's interesting.
There's just only one Cleo Lane.
Yeah. Right.
You know who her partner is?
I would say she traded up.
Who her partner is?
John Dankworth.
Very good.
Well, I mean, who doesn't know that?
Really,
the rest of the group didn't.
I did, but I just couldn't get it out.
God,
are you okay?
Mm-hmm. I haven't inhaled tea in so long.
It's a new sensation, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
you know, when I was a kid, we used to try to smoke tea.
A
It was terrible. But we tried. We tried.
Smoke
and
anything,
what was your nickname? I heard an old show
so
recently.
So did I.
I don't know where.
You claimed your nickname was George.
You were talking about all the old the nicknames in the old neighborhood. Yes. You wouldn't tell us.
It was my nickname. No. It stuck.
I think we can research this. Maybe Betty knows.
Smokey.
I was the only one in my family that didn't have a nickname.
That's okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we thank Ryan.
They called
Joel
me
Mayfield.
Dr. Pickering. Yes. At seven.
Well, we don't know what Ryan Joe Mayfield's nickname is, but anyway, he has clobbered.
RJ, yeah. RJ.
Thank you.
And
thank
he
you.
Will receive RJ. The winner's package, and he damn well better receive it, too. I mean, yeah. We've had problems.
We like suffering
past,
when it's this pleasurable.
No, I mean, we've had problems. I'm not talking about our producer. I'm talking about the place where Mr. Mayfield is residing.
Oh.
We had problems in the past where they wouldn't let victorious questioners receive the goods that we sent them.
Oh, dear.
Just tell them right now. Put on the outside, Melissa. There is no file in here. You
know, well, at least send the photo separately, maybe, so that gets through.
Yeah. If you don't get your package, Mr. Mayfield, let us know, and we'll call Janet Reno herself and say, clean up your act, lady. You know, what is this? All right. Next set of questions comes from our old friend. Now, this is either Bert Tilley or Rodney Glenn.
Who may be the same person.
It's always the same handwriting, so this is
yellow paper.
This is Bert Tilley. Yes.
All right. Right.
I always have to look at the back and make sure.
We're so glad to hear his name.
He says, about the Waffle House, they wanted a $50 deposit. Walmart said, no way. My dad told me it's okay, but clean up after we finish.
Well, we're not coming down to do a show.
This was our chance to go down.
We can't do a
Alabama.
Waffle House, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, okay. Anyway, we tried.
Is there a Cracker Barrel in Atala, Alabama?
I
we
bet
want
there
to know.
I bet there. There's certainly a Denny's.
Well, there's crackers.
Indeed.
I don't know about the barrels.
The topic of this set of questions is junk.
Oh,
okay.
You get 17 out of 20.
Oh, 85.
Why are potholes called potholes?
Because they got all
they hold
space,
water just like pots do.
I thought it was where people stashed their stuff.
No.
Okay.
Is it a geograph? You know,
no,
something
it's actually a
geological?
Very interesting.
Oh, you mean there's a real reason?
There really is. Yes, it's very ancient.
What is
people cooked in?
No,
really?
No, I will have to give this.
Okay.
It deals with ancient Rome. In the Roman Empire, potters used to run out and dig up parts of the roads to use in making clay plots.
Oh, all right.
And the resulting holes in the road were called potholes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Whatever the original Latin was, you know.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Even if it isn't true,
yeah,
I
don't
believe
it.
Telling it. I'm going to keep telling
it. Who cares?
That.
You know, I mean, that's good enough.
Potholes.
The QWERTY keyboard setting has been around for over 100 years. However, there have been two changes to the QWERTY setup. What are they?
Well, there have been a lot.
Greek and German are two.
What, could someone enlighten me as to what's the QWERTY
keyboard?
The keyboard,
Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
I mean, is he looking for, like, the Dvorak keyboard? I mean, is he looking for that?
No, something that's been added, like the ampersand.
No, it's not even that.
Is it related to computers now?
No.
Would it be a tab?
It's the same. Nothing was added or subtracted from the keyboard.
Was something moved?
Yes.
One letter was changed position?
That's right. The M was moved down a line, and the X and the C switched places.
When was this?
Late one
when
night.
When they figured out.
Certainly before I learned to type, because I taught myself how to
must
type.
Must be a while back.
I still, you know, I have no idea what a keyboard looks like.
Is it not true
are.
that the typewriter was set up to slow down typists because they feared they'd go too fast?
That is true. Yeah. That mechanically,
I thought it was set up
difficult.
So that the commonest letters were in your forefinger.
No, it's not at all. The QWERTY thing is made so that it slows down what you can do because mechanically the first typewriters weren't up to what people could do. And now there's that Dvorak keyboard and stuff that does put the most
frequently used.
Agile fingers are probably the most common letters and stuff like that.
I might as well buy one of those because I never learned the other one.
Yeah. And there's some wonderful keyboards now that are curved and stuff. I've typed on them, and they're really...
Are they nice?
Yeah, they're nice. They're expensive.
Probably is, I mean, I taught myself how to type, and so I can type pretty decently, but I'm doing strange things like throwing one hand over the other.
It works.
Looks like a Mozart sonata when you dance. Right.
He thinks he's playing Haydn.
Exactly. Right.
In the Winston Churchill lexicon, a terminological inexactitude is better known as what?
The wrong word.
A lie. Yes. Name the two Christian cartoons produced by the 700 Club.
Oh.
Jot.
Ralph Reed. Ralph Reed. There we go. And Robertson.
There are two cartoons.
No, those are clowns. Those aren't cartoons.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, okay.
Now, the answer is Flying House and Superbook.
No, Superbook.
That's clever.
Is it like Supercar?
No, you don't get
it's
it.
It's the Bible.
You just don't get
salad.
It.
Super salad. More like super salad.
First Kings 3:22. Yeah. Oh. You don't get it.
Okay. Oh, I can't. Is anybody catching this morning show that's out of, what state is our president from?
Arkansas.
The guy, I guess about 72, great big burly guy, ex-Marine, answers questions. Absolutely one of the greatest shows on TV.
Is it a grand jury?
No, he's wonderful. It would shake you out of your Unitarian faith. I think you ought to pay attention.
It's a religious show?
Yeah, right. What's his name? Something like McCorkle or something like that.
You're Unitarian whatever.
What is Unitarian that? Karma.
What's up with that?
It's a style of architecture, I think.
As of March 1996, how many U.S. senators had either retired or resigned?
Lots.
Yes.
Not enough.
12.
Not more than 12.
16.
No. 15.
More almost, than 20. You're almost
17.
There.
17.
18.
18.
Oh. 18.
Okay. Well, Bert, hang on.
Spence Abraham, not one of them.
No. Alas. We'll be back with Bert on our next program. In the meantime, we're out of time. I'd like to thank the panel, Professor Pickering, Professor Bush,
bye.
Professor Sumner, Professor Maggio,
bye.
Professor Beer,
yeah.
Professor Crabtree, yes. Professor Kulik. And now this word from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Author and screenwriter.
State Supreme Court Justice.
Check out the resumes of some pretty big wheels.
Chairman and CEO.
Police Chief.
And you'll find they have one thing in common.
University of Detroit Mercy.
UDM.
UDM.
University of Detroit Mercy.
An alumni list as impressive and diverse as the school itself. University of Detroit Mercy continues a tradition of excellence in education. To learn more about UDM's academic and financial aid programs, call 1-800-635-5020 or visit online at www.udmercy.edu. University of Detroit Mercy.
Chief Financial Officer.
We turn out big wheels.
Graduate, UDM.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit Mercy Real Campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Melissa Samluck and Amy Anderson. Our technical director is Michael Jason. I'm in great shape. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. Until next week, this is your host, Edmund DeWitt.
And join us next week as our Ask the Professor summer time travels take us back to September 1994.